Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, then, I'm back in the hot box, in my kitchen. You can probably hear my fridge squeaking away. There's nothing in there. I don't know why I've got it turned on, to be quite frank. All I've got is salad cream, some hot sauce, and a bottle of Campari in the freezer. It is not even worth turning that on, is it really? Embarrassing. Anyway, yes, I'm Pete Donaldson. This is the Luke and Pete Show with our second of our best ofs. Thank you for joining us again on a Thursday. Just a little something to get you into the weekend, quite frankly. We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new live show, sort of pre-recorded, but you know what I mean. Thank you for joining us. And here's a quick email before we get into it. This is from Stuart. All right, boys, just a quick one. Catching up with the pod recently, I was amazed by your story of a woman wanking off a dolphin while it was on LSD, because when I was on LSD, I got wanked off by a dolphin. We deserve that.
What I've done, Luke, is compile some of the more exciting, more salacious agony aunt letters from the world of agony auntry on the internet.
Do you want to know what makes me qualified?
What?
I've got 4 different weather apps on my iPhone.
Have you actually? I bet you have.
Yeah, I have.
So I basically got a lot of agony aunt kind of letters that people have sent in to agony aunt.
Sort of Deirdre stuff.
This is the sort of thing we'll test even the hardiest advice givers. So we're basically just testing each other out here.
See what level we're at.
Okay. This is from the Mumbai Mirror.
Okay.
Possibly previously the Bombay...
Bad boy.
Newspaper.
Bombay Express.
The Bombay Express. I am a 63-year-old married man. Yeah. Are there any medicines to sexually excite a woman?
I'm laughing because you're never going to be married.
Rude.
Are there any medicines to sexually excite a woman?
Right,
is that the question?
I'm a 63-year-old married man. Are there any medicines to sexually excite a woman? I have a 50-year-old neighbour who could benefit from it as she has lost her desire to have sex.
What? How did he even know this?
I know. They must have had a chat over the wall.
And this is authentic.
Apparently it is, yeah.
Okay.
I can only go off what I've been given.
Do you want me to give my advice to that, or does it continue?
Well, the advice that this person from the Mumbai Mirror said, her gynecologist can help her. I'm curious to know why you're so concerned.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. Yeah. But I absolutely fair on the behalf of the agony aunt there. But I will say, it is rude to answer a question with a question.
So I guess it is, yeah.
Accept it. You don't want to pull that thread.
Also, I would sort of say, if a woman is not sexually excited, go straight for the medicines.
Yeah.
Are there any medicines?
I mean, if we're talking about women who aren't sexually excited, Pete, I think you should probably lead on this.
Here's the next one. I am 43 years old.
Okay.
I'm donning a lot of hats here.
Yeah, you are.
My wife believes that I'm having an extramarital affair, but it's not true.
Can we just crib a jingle of you just say, I'm 43 years old.
I am 43 years old. I'm 43 years old. My wife believes that I'm having an extramarital affair, but it's not true. Every day she applies nail polish on my penis to check if I'm being unfaithful. I feel a burning sensation and it hurts me. Please help.
There's a lot to unpack there.
I don't know why that would prove or disprove whether you are being faithful.
Because I'm not a particular expert in it, but nail polish isn't something that comes off very easily. Surely you want
to... What if you use nail polish remover?
Yeah, right.
Even worse.
You want to put something on the penis that's easy to remove. So then,
yeah.
Because any activity at all is going to remove it, and then you're going to
know. Oh, is that why?
I don't know.
Thinking, like, exactly... You're in the same kind of headspace as this crazy woman.
But the thing is, anything that's easily to remove from a penis is going to be removed by either a pant or a trouser. So, she's barking at the wrong tree there, I think.
Right, okay.
You might as well just go down the road just following him.
Just follow her out. Yeah. She's got things on. She's a busy woman.
Yeah, you're much more averse. You're much more experienced in nail polish than I am, Pete, I would have thought.
Not on the winky.
No.
I used to very occasionally apply it when I thought I was Brian Molcor.
Yeah, I think we all went through that phase. Yeah, we went through that stage.
Hartlepool didn't know like it.
Doesn't go down well in the old hometown.
So if you can beat that, do get involved.
If you can beat that.
Beat that.
Just keep it good.
Keep it good.
Keep
it on the down low.
What newspaper was that last one from?
You said
the Mumbai, whatever it was.
It was copyright John Hamblin. I don't know who John Hamblin is, but... Okay.
Well, good luck to him.
Good luck, John. Good luck, John's John. So if you can beat that, if you can do better than that, if you've got a problem at work, if you've got a problem at home, if you just want to say hi.
If you've got a problem with us.
Just delete the podcast. Unsubscribe. Are you familiar with the gloopy substance that is molasses?
Yes, I am. Molasses, yeah. Do you want to tell people what it is if they don't know?
It's a byproduct of sugarcane refinery.
It's like I would call it like almost a very thick... dark brown syrupy type almost like treacle.
It's like it tastes a little bit like licorice. It's like thick spreadable licorice-y treacle.
It's sweeter
stuff.
Than that though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite as bitter. It is delicious. I used to have it on bread every now and again. That's
quite bad.
And that's why I have diabetes.
And no teeth. So you're putting molasses into the Mencarta?
No, I'm not putting molasses. It might already be in there, to be fair. I'm putting the Great Molasses Flood of January the 15th, 1919.
Well, tell me more, because I genuinely know nothing about this, and my interest is bloody peaked.
So basically...
The Great Molasses Flood.
In Boston...
Yeah.
In 1919, on that fateful day, obviously very cold, there was an unholy £26 million worth of molasses that flooded the entirety of the north end of Boston, engulfed in molasses, travelling at 35 miles per hour, ripping houses from their foundations. It killed 21 people, injured hundreds more. People just suffocating.
In molasses.
And obviously the rescue effort of trying to rescue people out of what is basically black quicksand is almost nigh on impossible.
How did this even happen?
So basically there was a company that was in the business of creating medical alcohol. Then obviously Prohibition was coming in.
Yeah.
And so they tried to outpace the Prohibition order, which was actually ratified the next day, with good cause, obviously.
Right.
And they overstocked, I think it was from Puerto Rico, they just brought a whole load of molasses in to refine into medical alcohol because they wanted to beat the ban. But the tank they chose to put the molasses in was not even worth the word tank. It was dreadful. It was a dreadful tank. It was a travesty of a tank. And it basically just killed a lot of people, spread it into subway platforms. They tried to make out that the tank had been blown up by anarchists, but what actually happened was fermentation. There was colder, older molasses in the tank in the first place.
Where was the tank? On land?
So, yeah, it was on land.
I was thinking of like an oil slick, like a ship had turned over.
No. It was literally just... it was quite close to the coast, but it was on land. Imagine the Battersea gas tanks. You know, those big kind of like tanks that go up and down. At the old gas works. The walls of the tank were way too thin, and apparently it was due to the fact that the iron steel mix contained no manganese.
Right.
So it was all manganese's fault. The tank in the first instance would constantly leak anyway, and that's why they painted it brown so no one would notice that there was loads of molasses being leaked, and people would actually...
a lot more sort of fast and loose back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, or slow and goopy.
Well, yeah. Well, you said 30 mile an hour. That's quite fast.
Yeah, apparently. Well, I think some MIT students about 2 or 3 years ago, they tested out how fast... molasses or things of that viscosity would suddenly start rumbling down the street, and apparently that's about accurate, 35 miles an hour.
Bloody student.
The famous Boston elevated railway was twisted up by it as well.
Right.
It's just very hard to clear the entirety of Boston from the molasses, because obviously it's very sticky. It's mainly sugar.
Well, I had two questions. One was that, so I imagine the answer
seawater was the answer. Apparently normal water wouldn't do it.
Right, okay.
So the fire brigade had to bring in seawater.
And the second thing I'm sort of fascinated about is that was the tank of molasses so big that people of Boston or of that area of Boston knew, oh shit, it's those molasses, or did they just think, what the fuck is that? What is that?
No, apparently the people who used to live near the molasses tank Mm. And I can't believe we're talking about molasses tanks this early in our run of shows.
I know.
They would go over to the tank and where the big breaks in the tank...
The bowl of porridge.
...would come and collect... Well, would come and collect it and take it back home for their house. I think they would refine it into their own alcohol and admit their own illegal alcohol.
Speaking of that train at Boston, Boston's a fascinating city for a number of reasons, been there many a time, but one of the things that's just reminded me of is that, do you know that they had such bad traffic congestion in Boston that they took one of the highways and they just sunk it into the ground?
They basically
just dug a massive trench and sunk it into a tunnel and just built over the top of it.
Oh, that's clever.
So they put it through. They basically put it in the ground.
That's like
the congestion.
It's like the Shibuya canals.
Stop going back to Japan.
Did
the molasses reach Japan? No, wrong coast. It's the wrong coast. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll be more than happy to put the Great Molasses Flood of 1919 into Mankata 2017. Yeah. I think it's a worthy entrant.
Apparently, for years afterwards, the whole area smelt of molasses.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Speaking about my dad and his horrible stories about his brothers and, you know, just horrible things in his life. Something we did for another show back in the day, last year, for our Acast specials. It was basically me interviewing my dad. And for better or worse, perhaps a good percentage of you guys might not have heard it. So, look, what do you reckon? I bust out a little bit of me versus me dad in hope of kind of understanding me a little bit more.
Yeah, I've heard this and it's bloody good, so I would recommend it. So yeah, give him a slice.
Knock out. So I'm just basically going to ask you a few questions about your life and also give the listeners a little bit of an idea about our beautiful relationship, Dad.
Oh, no, we're not talking feelings. No.
All right, okay, right. I've got a few stories, right, that I remember from my childhood that you have mentioned, right?
Mm.
and I just basically need a couple of explanations, basically. Number one...
Right.
In the Navy, when you filtered metal polish through a loaf of bread?
Sock.
What?
Sock.
What, just one sock?
No, it was a couple of socks.
Right, OK. You said it was a loaf of bread.
No, I didn't know. That was what they do in the penitentiary. State pen to do that. This is a Navy. This is a, well, no, it was no, it wasn't even a Navy thing. It was just an experiment we thought we'd try. It would taste absolutely disgusting.
Right,
so... nobody got rat-assed on it, no.
So it was metal pot. I mean, it's a wonder you didn't get brain damage. You got to...
No, well, anyway, it didn't work. It was you couldn't drink it. It was horrible.
Right.
But it was just worth a try because somebody'd read about it. And you get bored in the middle of the water.
All right, then. So it was in the Navy and you were on a boat and you were drinking metal polish.
Yeah. It's like the bottle of vodka with me and my mate. Well, it wasn't vodka, it was anisette. We bought a bottle of anisette illegally and we snuggled it back on board and me and my mate George went down the switchboard, the electrical switchboard, and... drank it basically, and the next morning hungover, turned to, went to work, went up the workshop, and George had an epileptic fit, and I thought, oh my God, that's going to happen to me, and I was panicking all morning. It was his first epileptic fit, but we weren't sure about this anisette because the label was stuck skew on the bottle. So it was and it had a crown cap, you know, like a beer bottle cap.
Right.
And it was a big bottle of really strong anisette. Anyway, I was panicking all morning because I thought, oh my God, that's what's going to happen to me. I'm gonna have a fit.
Oh, you were worried about your friend that you gave him some anisette and he had an epileptic fit.
The chief had a brilliant idea the first day. He says, don't let him bite his tongue. So the chief put his hand in his mouth and George bit his finger while he was having the fit.
Good Lord. And this, you were literally all at sea?
Yes.
Drinking anisette?
No, this is in Malta, this.
Right, okay. What I like about that is, Dad, came at you with a drinking story that involved you drinking Brasso, and you managed to one-up me with epilepsy.
No, well, actually, his sister had it, but he'd never had it before.
Ah.
It was his first fit, and that was it. Well, basically, he got booted out after that. Because you can't have him climbing about the yard and having a fit, can you?
So you gave a man a bottle of anisette.
No, we were both apprentices and we didn't have much money. We went to this back street place that bought this rubbishy stuff anyway.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You once told me a story where you were on a night out and you pulled back a curtain and there was
St Vincent there. St Vincent, yeah, in the West Indies, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
you pulled back.
What it was, we were out on it. We were out basically just down this dirt track, and we were in the. It was just a bar. It was just basically a bar with a bloke behind the counter and a couple of tables in a shack, really. And we were having a drink, and then I says, "Oh, I just go to the toilet." And there's like a curtain, and I says, "Toilet mate," he says, "Oh yeah, just throw there, just down the passage." So I pulled the curtain back, and there's like all the. Corridor, but it was like curtains either side. I thought, well, where's the toilet? There wasn't like gents or ladies or anything.
Mm.
So I just pulled the curtain back, and there was this man having there. I didn't realise it was a knocking shop.
Right,
anyway, it was a brothel, anyway, and I didn't realise. Anyway, this big man, he jumped up naked and pulled out a machete. I thought, well, why would you go to a brothel with a machete? I mean, makes no sense. Anyway, I just turned tail and just ran. My mate just watched me run through the bar and just carried on drinking and just watched this bloke chase after me.
Why did he go from loving to fighting so quickly, is the question?
I don't know why he got upset. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bust up the party. Like, I thought it was the toilet, you know what I mean? Anyway, sadly enough, when I was running, I'm surprised I outdistanced him. I think it was because he was naked, he gave up after a bit. Anyway, now I kept on running, and it was in the dark, and I fell down a monsoon ditch, and crack my ankle.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Never mind. finally for now, air rifle.
Air rifle, yes.
You once accused me without...
Yes, breaking my air rifle.
Without proof... Yes. Breaking your air rifle, and you said the only way it could have been broken is if someone had fired it. Now, Dad, I can exclusively reveal I never touched that air rifle.
I know. Actually, I realised that there now. Well, later. But I wasn't going to own up to you because you were only little. It was the fact that it was a cheap Italian air rifle.
Don't have a go at the Italians.
No. They used to churn them out like ham salmon. They were rubbish. I just went for the cheapest option and
literally broke it yourself?
Not strictly speaking. It was the cocking mechanism. It was the cocking mechanism and the load. There was a loading tray, which really didn't really work because it wasn't a proper pneumatic seal on it anyway. Basically, it was a bag of garbage. And I should never have bought it.
Well, you shouldn't have blamed me for breaking it.
I just took my rage out on you.
Well, as long as you didn't turn the gun on me.
Because that's what you're there for.
Dad, you've been incredibly good value. Thank you very much for joining us.
Right, okay then. Right.
All right, Dad, well, you get off to bed.
Radio then.
Sweet dreams. It's time for the email section, Luke.
I was just going to say, it's good to hear from your old man, but let's move on to the emails. I mean, before we get into these, one thing that's important to point out is that we have been absolutely bombarded with toilet/fecal matter-related emails.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing like a poo special next week.
Okay. They're all largely based around workplaces as well.
Yeah.
Epidemic level. it's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
One of the things, you can't read more than a few of them.
No.
I mean, it's too much.
Not while you're eating.
Do you remember that website back in the day, ratemypoo.com?
No.
There was a website.
Were you getting involved with that caper?
No, I wasn't, but it did a sort of... I mean, I guess before viral sort of content really existed, it did the rounds. People were sharing it on email and stuff. And it was like people would basically take photos of their passing of fecal matter and uploaded them to the internet, and people were rating them out of 10. But the thing was, it was like, oh, look, that's funny. It's a novelty. After about three of them, you're like, I feel sick. It's a bit like that.
There's nothing more beautiful than your own poo, and there's nothing more disgusting than someone else's.
Emails.
I once interviewed Chris Pratt of Parks and Rec fame, and he told me, this is out in the open, I'm sure, but he sends Nick Offerman, also of Parks and Rec, pictures of his poo, and Nick Offerman sends pictures of his poo to him.
Wow.
And they still do it even to this very day, which I quite like.
What a bromance.
What a bromance.
Let's not go down that route ourselves, Pete, you and I. Yeah. We're more colleagues, aren't we? So it's not it. First email up is from John, who's from Portsmouth. So, Portsmouth's heavy special this week. And we're getting into themes by accident, really, aren't we? We
fall into them.
Did a food one a while ago.
Yeah.
By accident. Anyway, he says, hi, Pete and Luke, how are you? I've written in to do a follow-up on your discussion on ghosts.
Okay.
Which I think you might find interesting. This is back way back in week one.
Mm.
You talked very interestingly about, if I may say so, about Japanese ghosts. He says, I currently study music technology at university, and one of the aspects that we study is acoustics. Your chat about ghosts made me think about standing waves. Standing waves occur when half of a wavelength of a low frequency is the same as a dimension of a room. So low-frequency wavelengths can be metres long, basically. This can cause either a drop or a gain in the perception of that frequency. Humans can only hear between the frequency range of 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz, so any sound that has a frequency below 20 hertz cannot be heard. There was a study done in 1998 which mentioned objects vibrating and ghostly apparitions being seen in a haunted lab where an extractor fan was found to be emitting an 18.98 hertz frequency. This is the same frequency at which the human eye can resonate, and the room's length was exactly half a wavelength of that frequency, thus causing a standing wave.
What are the chances of that?
Well, which may have caused an optical illusion. It's a weird coincidence. Yeah. Infrasound can also produce feelings of anxiety, sorrow and chills. For example, if you've ever been to a particularly loud gig and stood close to the subwoofers, you'll know you can also feel the sound moving when there is enough power behind it. Infrasound frequencies are very strong and can travel for miles too. So he said Japan plus lots of volcanoes and earthquakes could equal yokai. So that would be my guess as to what's happening when people see ghosts.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's from John. He said, I hope that's not too dry for you. I said, John, you have explained yourself very well there, because I am not at all scientifically minded, as much as I like to think I am, and I get that, and it sounds interesting.
I don't think he could be talking nonsense,
It taps into what you've said sort of consistently throughout this series, where you said that you're a science man, you're not interested in the sort of, the ephemeral, the sort of... you know, the paranormal, if you like, that type of stuff. So, I mean, it does seem to be that John has cracked that and he's solved the mystery of ghosts.
If you look into an owl's ear, you can see its optic nerve.
Okay.
So, what I would say is there's enough crazy shit happening in nature to not worry about the other stuff. Don't worry about it, it's fine.
Yeah, I find that fascinating. I also find it interesting when people sort of try and sort of deny evolution, for example, which can be really summed up by one word, which is heredity. I mean, it's essentially heredity we're talking about. And I also, and the reason I bring that up is because some people say, what about the human eye? What about the eye? And it's impossible to imagine how an eye, something so complex, could have come about. And I actually think the opposite. I think it'd be very, very easy to understand how, you know, light sensitive cells on the side of a fish, for example, billions of years ago, would benefit that fish. And so therefore that's how it starts, and they get slowly more complex over a huge amount of time.
I think the problem is that people can't understand how long that process has taken.
Quite exactly. Human mind isn't able to fully appreciate that, I don't think. You have to take a bit of a leap, don't you? So I find that pretty, I mean, one of the things that's interesting about this sort of stuff is John's done a great job there to the layman's ear of describing that.
Don't bring ears into it.
No, we haven't got time for that. But do you think that there's just too much stuff in the universe for people to ever be able to understand? Or do you think that ultimately, given a long enough time frame, science could explain everything?
Well, no, because then surely you'd have to explain the scientists, wouldn't you? Isn't that kind of like old kind of thing where it's like if the human brain was simply enough for us to understand?
Yeah.
On a molecular level,
we'd be too stupid to understand it. So it's a paradox, basically.
Yeah, okay, right.
What about this email from Joe? He says, "Hi, Luke and Pete. First time caller, long time listener." Well, we've only done five episodes, so you're not really sure you've been a long time listener. He says, "Last week's episode spoke to me."
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
I think this is an email sort of going a few weeks back. He says, "I now question, does the show exist, or do I put my headphones in and daydream because I hate my job?" We are not the Tyler Durden of podcasts. We do genuinely exist. I mean, this is how we do spend our time, depressingly enough. He says, "Flying back from a business trip on Friday, I watched a fruit fly making its way around my plane. All I could think about was this fly was flying around a giant human-made fly that was also flying. Would this fly enjoy its visit to Baltimore?" Can't answer that. Yeah. He says, "Anyway, my question is for Luke. My landlord installed a piece of plastic under our deck." He says this question's for me, but actually, I think you can answer this better. He says, "My landlord installed a piece of plastic under our deck so we could go outside and grill when it rains. However, a family of pigeons decided the small gap between the deck and plastic rain guard was the perfect place to nest and now attacks anyone who exits the back door. How should I prove I am the dominant species on this planet? Thanks, Joe."
Stamp them into a jam.
A show of strength. Yeah.
Or you could sit the pigeons down and explain to them that, look, I'm trying to barbecue out here, lads. Yeah. Leave me alone.
Or chuck one of their family on the barbecue to show them what could happen.
Show them all the ranges of birds you've eaten recently.
Yeah, different shows of strength. I'll tell you what I could do. I mean, it might be a bit of a trek, but I could call on my two cats, Hercules and Magnus, to go out, because they're brilliant at catching birds.
Yeah. Not the one that was in your house.
Well, they were nowhere to be seen then. That was disgraceful. That's bad by them. That's a dereliction of duty.
Bad boys.
What one thing that's clear to me now, and wasn't clear to me before I got the two cats, is that I didn't know whether it would be worse cleaning up a dead mouse or a dead bird.
Do you now know that?
A dead bird is much worse.
Right.
Because there tends to be a load of struggle, and the feathers go everywhere.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered how many feathers are on a normal-sized bird?
No.
Because I was sort of seduced into thinking it might be about 20. Mm. It's about 5,000.
When you see them mashed into a floor or a road.
Yeah.
Have I told the story about the bus running over a pigeon?
No.
I was sort of thinking, I always think, you know, in a crisis I'm pretty good. I reckon, you know, if there was something dreadful might happen or someone fell ill, I could probably, you know, I've got fantasies of if someone got disemboweled, I could push the guts back into the body and like, marine style, make the person lift their knees up to their chest. And keep the guts in.
You're the man for the job here, right?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking, I'll know what to do. I could probably do a tracheotomy. But all of those fantasies just went up with a puff of pigeon blood when I saw a pigeon just get run over by a bus on Oxford Street, and it went bang.
Right.
And I'd not be for sick, to be honest. I was nearly sick.
Did you actually witness it?
Yeah, I watched the pigeon. I went, "That's close to the bang." Oh God, I'm going to be sick.
Did it almost like explode on the screen?
Like Left 4 Dead 2.
But was it a bloody mess?
It was a bloody metaphor. Well, it just went bang under the wheel. It was just the way it
under
went.
Under the wheel?
No, no, it didn't. No, it didn't hit the window. No, it went under a wheel. I mean, that's how stupid the bloody pigeon was.
They call me Hanging Johnny. Away, boys, away. And they says our hangs for money. And we'll hang, boys, hang. First I hung me mother, away, boys, away. And me sister and me brother, and we'll hang, boys, hang. Then I hung me father, away, boys, away. And I strung him up with leather, and we'll hang, boys, hang. Then I hung me granny, away, boys, away. Then I strung her up so canny, and we'll hang, boys, hang. Now we're all hanging together, away, boys, away. And we'll hope for better weather, and we'll all hang, boys.
All hang, boys.
Just sung your little song there, little sea shanty, the whole thing.
All right then, that's the end of the show. Thank you for joining us for a little best of Luke and Pete show. We'll be back next week. We'll be back this coming Thursday to do our thing. But you've got one more best of on Monday in the can, so to speak. So have a cracking weekend. Don't do drugs. Don't fall down any stairs. And look after your mum or dad or children or dog. Or I'll leave it there.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.